the Lamb that was slain for the salvation of men and is alive forevermore. Don't really know how to proceed after hearing what we just heard, but we know our life is just a vapor. We don't know what breath will be our last. We anticipate living for years. We know each day could be our last, but in a way, I think we anticipate living for quite a while. And sometimes it's good to be reminded of the reality of the brevity of life, and that eternity is very near to each one of us. Now we just prayed, but I'd like to just have a short word of prayer here. Lord, we come before you this morning and we desire to worship you, Lord. We want to lift up your name. We want to consider you, your ways, your holiness, Lord, and we pray that these few moments that you would speak to us, Lord, and draw us closer to you, and that you would make your presence very real to us, Lord, to conform us and make us into the image of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. I know I don't often appreciate enough the blessing we have when we gather together and meet like this. And there's a couple of verses in Ephesians that I'd like to start with in regards to that. It's Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And God has put all things under his feet, under Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And to the church there. I'm not sure exactly what he meant there, but I think it means for the purpose of the church, for the glory of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Saying here, the church is the fullness of Christ. That is quite a statement. And we can be part of that here. And we come here, and he is watching over this assembly this morning, and he is very interested in each one of our hearts and what is said, how he is received, because this is his own body, and he desires to glorify his Father and for his name to be glorified and to be a witness in this dark world that we live in. Today I want to talk about the way to our destination. I want to read the verses of a song here before I begin. It's a familiar hymn to us. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from my throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith, for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou seest I patiently wait. Come down within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Trust that's our prayer this morning. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Revelation. I have a lot of verses here today, and some quotes, and some of my own thoughts, and I may not give all the scripture references, and if you really want them, you can come to me afterwards if I don't say them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That passage from Matthew 25, as I read that, I thought, you know, these people, especially the ones that He said, the ones that were sent to eternal destruction, they were not sent there because of the wickedness they had done. They were sent there because of the good they didn't do. That's convicting to me. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that says unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils? And in Thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. Now in that passage, it appears as though these people were doing good. Right? They prophesied in His name. They cast out devils. They've done many wonderful works. And yet that's not enough. We must know Him. He must bear fruit, and I must know Him. We all desire a destination in eternity with Christ and with God, and we anticipate that, and we know that we serve a merciful Father. But as I considered the way, you know, the Bible teaches us of a narrow way and a broad way. And we can envision that fairly easily. But Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what does that mean? How can Christ be our way? I think maybe it's more of a, yes, we need to be on the narrow way, but the way needs to be in us. Jesus Christ dwelling within. Do we need to be born again? Absolutely. Do we need to confess our sins? Yes. But how am I walking my day-to-day life? know, our destination may be a destination is something you arrive at. It's a point in time that you obtain. But a way is something that is traveled. And Jesus is the way to our destination. You know, I used to travel a lot for work. I went to Europe many times. Holland, Spain, Germany. And whenever I would prepare for a trip, and I traveled by myself many times, so I would, you know, I make all my plans and I determine where I'm going. I print out maps. I find my airline tickets, line up my rental car, and all of these things, whenever I would leave for my trip, you know, I had to be at the airport on time. I had to have all my luggage with me. Whenever I got to the rental car, you know, I needed to have a method of payment. I needed to keep gas in the rental car. And I needed a GPS and maps. And all of these things had to be in place and had to happen. Just desiring my destination was not enough. I had to pay close attention to detail as I went on my way. My focus was not on my destination, or I had not got there. My focus was step by step, the way to get there. If I had just been thinking about my destination, I would never have arrived because I'd have missed a turn. But I was thinking about that a little bit. There was other times where I would prepare for trips and maybe I was only going a state or two away here in the States. Do you think I took as much care preparing for that trip? Do you think I even paid close attention to the way as I was on it? And why is that? Well, I was more familiar with the land here. But when I would go to Europe, everything was unfamiliar. The language I didn't understand. I couldn't read the road signs. Pay very close attention to the GPS. I was a pilgrim and a stranger in that land, and therefore, I paid very close attention to the way, because I could get lost real easy. But when I become more familiar with my surroundings, and I don't quite see myself as much as a pilgrim and a stranger, I don't focus on the way as much. And I think a little bit about the affluence of the land we live in, and all the comforts and all the freedoms that we have, and I wonder sometimes, if I don't lose sight of the fact that I am a pilgrim and a stranger here, and if that hinders my ability to keep my focus on Jesus Christ as the way. We want the destination, but we must remain steadfast with the way living in us. God has given us all the tools we need to stay on the way, and for Christ to dwell within us. We have His unchanging Word. And each day, how excited am I to pick up His Word and meditate on it? Does it thrill my soul? Or do sometimes I find it a duty? Sometimes I do. I confess that. His Spirit and His indwelling presence. How careful am I that I do not allow anything into my life that would offend His Spirit? Is there any unrighteousness in my heart? You know, we read the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. When I encounter difficulties in life, when I get hurt, maybe physically or emotionally, what is my response? What is the natural response? What are the feelings that come to my heart? Is it something of the Spirit of God? Or is it something of my flesh? Yeah, we battle with the flesh. But may God make us, put in us a complete surrender to allow Him to live in us and produce that fruit. That come what may in life, any circumstance, any situation, no matter what is said about us, no matter how we are treated, that what comes out of us is that same love for humanity that Christ had as when he was crucified, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We have his church, and I spoke about that as I opened here. How much do I appreciate my brothers, the assembly of God's people? He works through his assembly to purify his church, us as individuals. Am I excited to come here and meet with my brothers and sisters and to meet with God? We have a perfect example in the life of Christ recorded in Scripture of what it looks like when a human being perfectly follows God's will and perfectly follows this way. You know, his life was different than us. He didn't have a family and all of that. But we can see his character. We can see how he responded to difficult situations. You know, I mentioned the affluence of our nation and how maybe that affects us as seeing ourselves as pilgrims and strangers. And I had to think of the church of Laodicea. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That sounds very much like a lot of Christianity in this nation. We need to be very careful that we're not influenced by that. Or the church of Ephesus. They lost their first love. They lost the way. How much do I love him? Will I surrender my all to God each day so that Christ can live in his fullness through me, generating a diligent, obedient, and overcoming life that endures until the end? It's my desire. Pray that God will help us to ask ourselves that question and to be willing to make that commitment. You know, as I consider the fruit in my life, what people see when they look at me, and compare that to what we know they should be seeing, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith. Have I crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts? What's the testimony of my life? Am I a cheerful giver? How much do I give? How much do I keep? How much do I need? If I have more than I need, why? These are questions I wrestle with. I don't have all the answers. I trust that God will give us wisdom as his people to sort through these things and to live aright in this land. We want to live holy and separated lives. The car we drive, the home we live in, what we wear, how we wear it, my hair, my beard, everything about us is communicating something to the world around us. And what is it all communicating? Does it draw them to Christ? Or does it make them wonder where my affections really are? These are questions I ask myself. My time, how willing am I to be a servant? Do my goals and my aspirations get in the way of doing the work of the Lord when he lays an opportunity in my path? You know, we know we serve a merciful God and we see needs in our lives, but at what point does my expectation of God's mercy turn into license? I don't know. May God give us wisdom. How holy is God? How much does he despise sin? And do I despise it as much as he does? And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, to the second death. Now think about those things. And it's easy maybe sometimes to say, oh, I'm not really like that. But I wonder sometimes how close these things come to my heart as I consider, what does it mean to be fearful? Nowhere to fear God. That's not what he's talking about here. I think, for me, how much do I trust God? Am I fearing what may come in life? Have I released all that to him? Am I trusting him to take care of all of these things and just live a faithful life? Unbelieving, I think that's akin to disobedience. And how obedient am I? Do I rejoice to obey God's word? The abominable, whoremongers. Well, Jesus gave us a look into God's heart when he explained about what adultery really is. Murderers, he clarified that too. Do I ever have ill feelings towards my brother? Sorcerers, let's be careful with healing practices. We know that some of them are rooted in the occult and Eastern religion. Let's just be careful. Idolaters, what do I really enjoy doing? Is there anything in my life that I feel I really can't do without? Is there anything competing for my joy and delight in Christ? And all liars. And we may not just flat out tell a lie, but do I ever maybe omit things or say things in a way to give an impression that maybe isn't the complete truth, especially if it would make me look bad? God help us to be completely honest. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. I'm going to have to move along here a bit. Nothing is more essential in order to dwell in God's presence than holiness. Forgiveness of sins is not all we need. Peace alone is not sufficient. A perfect righteousness which places us in a position of acceptance with God is not all that is provided for us in the gospel. There must be likeness to God, conformity of heart, oneness of nature. But what is holiness? How does God teach us what holiness means? He sends us his Son. He sets before us a person, a living embodiment, his own ideal of holiness. Jesus is God's conception of a perfect man. In his life on earth, we have set before us God's divine holiness manifested and unfolded in the life and person of Jesus Christ. That's a quote. I don't have the author. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Surrender to me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." Each day, this must be my aspiration. To be like Christ. To have the nature of our holy God manifested in my life. He can only dwell within me to the degree that I'm emptied of myself. The heart that is set on itself is tumultuous and narrow, thinking of me. But the more self dies, the more Christ reigns, the more peaceful and wide the heart becomes. In this way, I can see how much of self is remaining in me. How much do I really want to give, to serve, and to bless others? Do I delight in this? Or do I sometimes find it a duty? With the business and circumstances of life, with its trials and difficulties, is my heart a great calm or a tossing tempest? I can determine this by how easily I'm frustrated, irritable, impatient, or irked. When I sense that, It is a sign of my own self-love and should drive me to my knees crying out to God to deliver me from myself. You know, we want our obedience to be more than just duty. I wonder sometimes if, you know, dutiful obedience is good. It's better than not obeying. But it's driven by self. It's still driven by self-love. But we want our obedience to be such that our delight is to bless others and is to obey God out of a love that is rooted deep in our hearts for our Savior and for mankind around us. And I have so much room to grow there. You know, I just recently read through Revelation, and it's a blessing to see all the praise and worship sprinkled throughout that. There's things there we don't understand, but I understand these things. And I want to read them as I work toward closing here. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Ourselves, our lives, everything about us, all that we see is created for Him and for His pleasure, and for His glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to Him. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. I want to read just a verse of a hymn here in closing. Lord Jesus, closer unto Thee unite me, as Thou with the Father art. In truth Thine own, and not pretending, a Christian true in mind and heart. This will I seek, this is my aim, my heart, Lord, as Thy dwelling claim. God bless you all.